On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast series brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal. And as we head into the fall of 2018 and the twilight, of the year and look towards 2019, our theme is insurance technology, or today what's known as InsurTech, and its impact in particular on the independent agent and broker channel. And our guest today is Phil Edmondson, who's the founder of Corvus Insurance Holdings. It's corvusinsurance.com, C-O-R-V-U-S, insurance.com. Phil, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Peter. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about in general about InsurTech, but also Corvus. So why don't you start out and tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, how you got involved in this great business called InsurTech.
Thanks, Peter. This is really a pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to tell a story. And it started, I was in college, a neuroscience major, and while I love science, I also don't like the pace of science, but I love the subject matter. And I've been able to work that into my career in insurance by working with technology companies. So for more than 30 years, I have built commercial insurance brokerage businesses, mostly in the U.S., though we also owned a small business based in France. And from that, we served clients in the life science and biotech communities, computer software and internet companies, renewable energy, medtech, fintech, any kind of tech. And I've been able to meld together my love and interest in technology with the pace and the challenges of commercial insurance. It's been great.
Yeah, and just a quick aside, Boston is really home to a whole nother round of insurance organizations. It's pretty astonishing. You think all the good ideas, or the common belief, all the good ideas are coming out of Silicon Valley, but it seems like Boston has been home to a number of them, including you guys.
Well, I'm glad you think that way. It certainly has been a source of technology, and if you look at the rents we're paying in downtown Boston and the demand created by a lot of tech companies, I guess I'd have to nod my head yes on that one.
So I don't know what the exact percentage is of the billions of dollars that have come in to InsurTech, the portion that is going towards enabling the agent and broker, the independent agent and broker, if you will, as opposed to, you know, seeing it as a way, something to get rid of, something to disrupt and avoid entirely. If I'm not mistaken, Corvus is in the category of enabling brokers, but why don't you tell us a little bit about Corvus? What is at the heart of your offering, and who is it for?
Sure. So after being in the shoes of a commercial insurance broker for a long time, I sold my businesses, and the business in Europe first in 2012, and then 3 years ago, the main business, which was a $50 million commission commercial brokerage in Boston, that we sold to Arthur J. Gallagher. And after we completed that sale, I knew that I was not going to stay with the buyer, despite the fact they're really wonderful people. But I thought I would become an investor in what we now call InsurTech. And I met with over 100 companies over the course of 18 months, and I saw lots of great technology. But what disturbed me the most about that was that that technology was mostly going to personal lines or very small commercial insurance. And while those are really valid places where technology can be useful, it's not the middle market customer that I've spent my career serving. And I saw lots of technology that could help those customers and help the brokers, who are inherently the best service option for them. But it seemed that most of the tech entrepreneurs who were interested in addressing that market thought that one of their most important steps was to get rid of brokers. And frankly, I thought that was both unreasonable and really poor judgment in a way, because brokers are an immensely efficient way and effective way of bringing great new products to market. And that's what we're trying to do with Corvus, is to build new insurance products that are tech-enabled, that will make brokers into heroes, help them to bring new value to their customers and to demonstrate their ability to operate in the digital age.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit more then. How does it work for the broker?
Well, each of our products follows the same playbook, or the same formula, if you will. We're looking for data that can be used to predict and prevent commercial insurance claims. So our first set of data we've taken from temperature sensors that are used and measuring the logistics chains for cargo shipments, for things like food products or pharmaceutical products, things that can spoil. And we thought that analyzing that data and visualizing that data, that is, turning it into software that both the broker and the end customer could see, would help them to understand how well they're doing at that objective, and then how and when they might perhaps have some anomalies, some problems that are happening in their logistics chains, and how to improve those things. All of which would be the win-win-win, right? Because we as an underwriter would win, because we can avoid the really bad companies, but for the big middle of the companies, we can improve their risk portfolio, and we can do that with the broker in the driver's seat. So we make the broker look better, and they are better by using our product, and we make the customer happier because they don't want to have claims. They want to prevent bad things from happening. So long as you make it easy for them to be able to visualize and understand how that data can be predictive of bad trends in their organization. And let's face it, everywhere else in business, people are using data in order to inform their decisions. So what Corvus is doing isn't anything all that new in the context of most of our customers, but it is quite different in commercial insurance. I hope you'll agree.
Yeah, it is. It is quite different. So do So you're in these different vertical lines. You mentioned smartphones and thermostats and banking. So can you give us an example of how a broker might use what you have to offer at Corvus?
Yeah. So we are looking at data from a lot of different sources. We hope in early 2019 to launch a commercial auto insurance policy that leverages data from the mobile phones of drivers of commercial vehicles. But more recently, we launched our second product that we call Smart Cyber Insurance. And there we use our software to evaluate the cyber risks of organizations. And we're able, just by looking at the public streets of the internet, so to speak, at the traffic going in and out of organizations, we're able to assess the IT risks. These are digital risks, after all, and we use a series of digital tools in order to create a score, a report, on how well any organization may be doing at preventing cyber losses. And we don't just do that and keep it in our little black box to use it for better underwriting. We share that with the brokers. And even in the quoting process, we give them a first handle of our report and some recommendations that they can present to their insured. And once we write an account, we're able to generate the reports once a quarter that, again, we share with the brokers, who use them together with their insureds in order to prevent their insureds' organizations from being subject to losses from any number of different cyber risks. So we package all that in as a free tech-enabled differentiator inside a traditional cyber insurance policy, if there is such a thing as a traditional cyber policy, because it's a very dynamic place. So our job, I think, Peter, our biggest challenge is trying to take the technology, which is just fantastic, and make sure that it not only gives new tools to brokers and agents, but it allows them to do so by creating less work rather than more work, right? Because there's no group of people who are more harried and busy than the best insurance brokers and agents that I know. So we're working really hard, and I think succeeding and getting good feedback on that too. And I'll give you an example there.
Sure.
A typical cyber insurance application can have 30, 40, 50 questions. They're really difficult to answer for an insurance buyer, time consuming, cause a lot of friction and slowdown. And brokers are frequently asked questions about the insurance company questions that they may find rather difficult to answer. And what we do, because we get most of our underwriting information from the digital scans that we make of the web traffic, we simply don't need those applications. Now, we still need some information. We need to know how much insurance do you want to buy, what deductibles do you want, have you had any prior claims. But most of that, most of the other information that is friction in the system, we've automated with our software. So we're able to deliver a solution for brokers that not only exposes them to the digital risks of their organizations and informs them about it and allows them to participate as great risk management advisors, but all while doing less work. And that's the kind of win-win-win we're looking for.
Okay. Let me ask you, just step outside, take off your Corvus hat for just a second and look at because it's great that you used to be a commercial broker so you can understand this, but the world outside of HR investments, investments in people, the agents and brokers, the next biggest thing is their technology expenditure. Most of that is going towards the traditional agency management system. And over the years, they've improved a little bit. There's been some things that have been added on to the, so they're not just simply a customer filing cabinet. But essentially, I guess I would ask you, I'm not sure this is a really good question, but what should agents and brokers be thinking about investing in? When you think about InsurTech, there's so much out there, and a portion of it does apply to them. But what would you do if you were back in, now that you know all this, back at, in the broker world, what would you be looking at? And how would you get, where would you get started beyond the management system? Would it be via talking with InsurTechs or talking to carriers or all of the above?
Yeah. So if back in the time of the movie called The Graduate, if the answer then was plastics, today the answer is data, right? And I think some of the agency management systems are doing a good job there. If you look at the Vertifor team, who runs several of the agency management systems, they recently acquired a company called RiskMatch. And through that, I think they're rolling out a series of tools that will allow agents and brokers to analyze their existing books of business. So I hope that some of those vendors will step up to the line, and I think that some of them are. I guess the more disappointing thing, frankly, is from the insurance carriers, they definitely have made efforts with agents and brokers to build digital platforms and portals, but it's oftentimes when we visit with brokers, what we hear is those portals exist just so the insurance company can transfer a lot of work from their desk to the desk of the agent. Data entry and other information storage, and that really doesn't create value, it creates work. And so there are a lot of digital tools that are available to us, but I know that we at Corvus, and I'm sure lots of other insurtechs, are thinking of it in the context of not just how do I sell more insurance or how do I sell better insurance, but also how do I do that more efficiently and more effectively so that the broker and agent has more time to do what they do best, to give advice to organizations around the world about how to keep bad things from happening.
Right, okay. So as you look back at this experience, after having left the broker world, are there some things that surprised you, maybe some aha moments you could share?
Well, I think I shared one of them, which is the kind of a disappointing aha that a lot of the insurtech entrepreneurs don't understand the value of insurance agents and brokers. And as depressing as I found that, I also realized that within that was an opportunity. That if an insurtech organization can understand the needs and hopes of an insurance agent and broker and put them to work together as a team, that it can be such a great tool. And, we've seen a couple of big insurtechs try to take on the insurance agency and brokerage distribution channel and frankly fall flat in their face. So I don't think there's a threat out there. I think the key message is, let's find opportunities so everybody can deliver more value to the end customer.
Okay. Are there things if you had a mulligan you might do over as you built this business out?
Well, that's tricky, Peter. I guess I would say now, having launched our first two products and really just done that in the last couple of months, I probably would have taken more time to build out our sales team where we know that we have something that resonates with the marketplace, but it's a big marketplace, and we certainly will use digital tools to reach our audience, but we also need really great sales executives to bring the message of Corvus out. So I think sometimes it's just having the confidence in your convictions to know that it's time to staff up because you have something really attractive to you, to your customer. And so I wish I had done more of that a couple of months ago, but we're working hard mm-hmm. to do that now.
You know, it's so interesting, Phil, because back in the day, I was working for a couple of, if you recall, the .com moniker. It's so funny because back then it seemed like there was all sizzle and no steak, and it feels different. So the opposite of what you're saying, the problem was there was all PR, all sales, and very little there. And I think it's changed now, probably because of data is much more meaningful and pervasive. But it seems like there's a lot of good things going on, but not a lot of people hearing about it. And the ones who are screaming the loudest, you I just find them suspect. But that's not really a question. It's sort of like a soliloquy, I guess.
Well, so I think some of those in the .com age were just a little ahead of their time. You know, I had a friend who was the CEO of a company called MotherNature.com, and they sold vitamins and related health foods on the internet. And that just sounds like a really brilliant idea. And something tells me that's another billion-dollar category for Amazon right now. But e-commerce wasn't quite as accepted at the time. So some of this is bring the technology to the marketplace at the right time and understanding the customer. I think there'll be a lot more insurtechs that will follow the path that we're taking, that is to build a team that is equally heavy in technology and insurance, to understand that the subject matter expertise is critical, and experience with the day-to-day environment of your customers and your distribution system is really important if you're going to build great technology for the marketplace. So I think that message is starting to be heard in the insurtech market.
Yeah, and I guess that leads into our last question is about the future and where you see things going. You have a unique lens. You've been on the inside of the insurance broker space. You've been an entrepreneur, investor, and so as you look down the road, Phil, where do you see this going? We don't have an Amazon or a Google or an Uber or Airbnb in the insurance industry, insurtech space yet. And I'm wondering if people are thinking that's out there somewhere, that there is a big one that's going to come that's going to be game-changing. Are we still in the elementary school phase of investing in insurtech? There's been a lot of tinkering. There's also, I've noticed in 2017 and especially 18, more of the traditional insurance entities like carriers doing more investigating and investing in new technologies because they're they've gone beyond saying it's not going to happen or don't worry about it to, well, we better get involved. So what do you see happening in 2019? New trends, continuation of what we've seen so far?
Yeah, I think that there is a level of engagement with the large insurance companies that wasn't obvious even 2 years ago. And whether they're creating venture capital funds or digital teams, I think there's going to be a lot more partnership than, let's say, the fintech revolution that started 5 or 10 years ago, where most of the upstarts there didn't want to work with existing, say, banks or lenders, and tried with some success and some hiccups along the way. So I think in our business, because the nature of insurance is such that we're all worried about bad things happening, and I think it attracts, because of that, a mindset of caution, that partnerships will be very important to success. We very much value the partnerships we have with our risk-taking, our balance sheet partners. We've chosen to go to market as an MGA, and a lot of other insurtechs are using this vehicle to go to market. So, but that means that and if you're going to partner with big insurance companies, you need to understand their priorities and make sure that you're scratching their itch as well. So I think we'll see more partnerships and more investment, and maybe a few big standouts as a few more years go by.
Okay, and how about the level of investment? I don't know what it is at this point to date, but I know it's probably a couple, $3 billion already, maybe more. Do you think, or is it going to be a scenario where the folks who have put money up are going to start saying, all right, we need to see some kind of return here, or are they just used to 1 in 100 making it and 99 not making it?
Well, I think there's some of both of those things, Peter. I think there's early stage investing where hopefully it's more than 1 out of 100, but you're right, there's a big failure rate. But those are for investments that maybe cap out at $5 or $10 million. But most of the dollars, when you're talking about the quarterly total or the annual total investment in InsurTech, generally those totals are comprised of 3, 4, 5, 6 really big deals. I think the companies, say, like Oscar Health on the health insurance side, has attracted hundreds of millions of dollars throughout 2018. And so companies, there are going to be a couple that have achieved the scale and have the potential to leverage their technology on a really big scale. And then there's going to be lots of innovation where the investments are in the 5 to, and 10 and $25 million range. Many of those will get bought by insurance companies, and a handful of them will proceed on to be big independent companies. And I hope Corvus is one of those.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's nice to talk to somebody who's bullish on the independent agent and broker. Of course, as I personally am, I agree with everything you said there. And I want to say thank you for taking the time, and best of luck with Corvus.
Thanks, Peter. Really appreciate talking to you, and look forward to an exciting 2019 together.
You bet.